Cheating the Other Guy by Fran Shipper. Looking down through the glass wall of the office that had been Elizabeth's, Sam saw Taylor walk out of the Stargate without her team, and braced for trouble. She did not expect Taylor to step through the doorway of her office a moment later, with her lips pressed together and her eyes glimmering with suppressed laughter. When she could speak calmly, Taylor said, "I am very afraid that I appear to have sold my teammates." Sam pushed the laptop away, sat back, and blinked at her. As a veteran of many less than successful SG-1 missions, there was only one thing she could say under those circumstances. "What did you get for them?" 40 head of Thurox cattle and a ranch to keep them on," Taylor said. Sam raised an eyebrow. "Why did you want..." "It is a very long story. Well, I accidentally traded Daniel for a basket of dinner rolls one time. That didn't go in the official reports." Sam pushed back her chair, then paused and raised her head to catch Taylor's eye with a grin. "I don't suppose we can leave them there." Taylor gave it just long enough that she really seemed to be considering it, but Sam was learning to read her well enough to see the amusement in her face. Finally, she sighed. "I fear not." The gate on M3Z79Y, a planet Taylor called Ryoran, opened onto a boulder-strewn wasteland. Scrubby gray-green bushes dotted the low brown hills. Sam would not have been surprised to see a tumbleweed roll past. Thoughtfully, she tugged a boonie from one of the pockets of her tack vest and settled it on her head. When Taylor had said, back on Atlantis, "You should bring a hat," she hadn't been kidding. Taylor herself wore a wide-brimmed sun hat that she'd retrieved from her quarters. What made Sam do a double take was the patterned scarf tied around her neck over the top of her uniform jacket. It was just about the size of a bandana. Seeing her looking at it, Taylor raised an eyebrow. "The dust can be quite bothersome here," she explained. "You should consider doing likewise." She tugged it up over her chin, a little bandit in a gray Atlantis jacket and a white sun hat. "I don't suppose Colonel Shepard has mentioned Westerns to you by any chance?" Sam asked as the two of them fell into step with each other. After so many years of having to take a step and a half for every one of her teammates' longer strides. Well, with the possible exception of Daniel, but he ran around like a hyperactive terrier anyway. It was pleasant to find that their walking speeds matched almost perfectly. Taylor was shorter, but she made up for it with the long, swinging stride of someone who has done a lot of walking in her life. "We've watched a few such movies." Taylor's lips quirked. "Ronan is quite fond of them. I find them repetitive and simplistic." "And none of this seems vaguely familiar?" Sam asked as a few dark, long-winged, bird-like things circled them, and then drifted off to the west. She told herself that they weren't really buzzards, despite the resemblance. Taylor watched the birds wing off into the pale sky. You may have a point." Taylor's ranch was a nice place, a cluster of low, rambling stone buildings, a big cistern fed from an underground spring, and a grove of fruit trees in addition to a small herd of the ugliest excuses for cattle substitutes that Sam had ever seen, and that included the giant dung lizards that people kept on PX2765. Jack had hated those things. "You got all this for Shepard, McKay, and Ronan?" "I know." Taylor laid her hat on the rim of the cistern and bent over to dip her hand, splashing a palmful of water on her forehead. "I clearly received the best part of the deal." Sam investigated the fruit trees, unable to restrain her curiosity. She plucked a ripe, golden-colored fruit from one of the trees, touched the tip of her tongue to it to check for any untoward burning sensations. The birds had obviously been eating them, but one couldn't be too careful, and then took a bite. It tasted a bit like a pear. She hadn't realized how much she'd missed going off-world. The sense of exploration, the wondrous variety of other worlds. "So," she said, wiping juice off her chin, "where are they, anyway?" "At the slave markets," Taylor said. Sam jumped. Taylor settled her hat back over her wet hair. "The auction is not until this evening, and from all I have heard, they are being treated well and given shade. There's little we can do until then. Jailbreak? Sam suggested, as her heart rate began to return to normal. It would be easier just to buy them back, Taylor pointed out. With what? Taylor waved a hand around them at the ranch. Sam finished off the pear-like fruit and held out the core on her upturned palm to one of the cow things. It snuffled her hand and licked away the offering, trailing strings of greenish mucus. Ew. Isn't that a bit circular? I told you it was complicated, Taylor said. I told you it was complicated, Taylor said. I suggest a new rule. Do not ever allow Colonel Shepherd to speak at trade negotiations. It never ends well. Sam wiped her hand on her pants leg. So, we have a few hours to kill, right? Until dusk, Taylor agreed. I guess we could head into town, let the guys know that rescue is on the way. Taylor shook her head. Unwise. The marketeers prefer that the merchandise are not examined before the market opens. They are concerned about cheating and price rigging. We would risk having ourselves banned from the auction. So we're back to having a few hours to kill. Taylor nodded. They looked at each other. The guilty thought occurred to Sam that she really should check back in with Atlantis, but they weren't expecting her until evening. For all they knew, she was spending the whole day engaged in difficult negotiations to recover Atlantis's flagship team. And, well, how often did you get to spend the day on an alien ranch? It was hard to tell, but she got the general idea that Taylor was thinking much the same thing. At least, Taylor didn't seem to be making any moves to head back to the gate. "What do they use for horses around here?" Sam asked. Rearani horses turned out to be long-legged lizards with fiery red and gold racing stripes. Two of them had come with the ranch also. The rocking gait was a bit difficult to get used to, but they could run like the wind. Sam never could figure out how she and Taylor went from riding along the ranch's boundaries to flat-out racing across the rocky flats. Taylor had a slight advantage. She was lighter, and rode her lizard horse as if she'd been born to it. But Sam's beast was bigger, and it turned out a draw when they pulled up at a river several miles from the ranch. Sam was out of breath from laughing, her lips chapped from the wind and her hat askew. Taylor pointed at a tall cairn of stones overlooking the river. Corner marker. That is the far edge of the ranch. Your ranch, Sam couldn't help pointing out. For the next 2 hours, Taylor said, smiling as she glanced up toward the sun. Sam leaned on the saddle horn. The river wound off across the barren flatland toward hazy, distant hills. Bit of a shame you can't keep the place. Taylor laughed aloud, the first time Sam had heard her do so. I was born a farmer's daughter, Colonel Carter. Should I wish such a life, all I have to do is go home. Well, that's a good point. The thought occurred to Sam that she knew very little about Taylor, beyond what was in the basic personnel dossiers. She'd been trying to get to know everyone on the expedition, but between her diplomatic duties, her gate trips with her team, and her regular trips on Athos, Taylor was a hard person to catch up with. Perhaps this was an excellent time to remedy that oversight. Wheeling the lizard horse around, she said over her shoulder, "And call me Sam. How about some lunch?" They arrived at the auction a bit late, sunburned, cheerful, and pleasantly full from an excellent meal at one of the town's small inns. The actual recovery of the merchandise, otherwise known as Taylor's team, turned out to be extremely anticlimactic. They were sold in a lot, chained together, but wearing their original clothes. Sam was a bit disappointed, not that she would ever admit it. She'd had visions of oiled leather. The auctioneer kept muttering darkly about escape attempts between rounds of bidding, and Sam noticed that Shepherd had a few bruises, and Rodney's hair looked slightly singed. Taylor still had a few head of cattle left over once they settled on an agreeable price. They depreciated, Sam remarked, as they went to collect their merchandise after signing over the ranch. Very quickly, Taylor agreed. Only one afternoon. I fear to think what their value might have been after several days had elapsed. You might have kept the ranch after all.
Hey! Rodney snapped. We can hear you, you know.
We know, Sam said cheerfully as the auctioneer unlocked their chains. You guys look like you spent a relaxing afternoon, Shepard said, stretching and combing out his hair with his fingers, setting it up in alarming spikes.
We, on the other hand, tried to tunnel out of prison with a spoon, Rodney said darkly.
You can't tunnel through rocks with a spoon, McKay, Ronan said. We tried to tell you.
Says the guy who tried to gnaw through the bars!
Ronan shrugged. They were made of wood. It could have worked.
Meanwhile, Rodney said smugly, I was building bombs.
The only person you blew up was you, Rodney, Shepard put in lazily. Out of curiosity, how many escape plans did you guys come up with, anyway? Sam asked in a fit of morbid curiosity. There was a brief silence. Rodney counted on his fingers.
12?
Shepard nodded. 13, if you count the one where we tried to dress as women and escape in the laundry cart.
That was Shepard's idea, Ronan said.
And a very stupid one, Rodney snapped.
Right, because your idea about using the gravitational pull of the moon to release our chains was so foolproof.
It could have worked!
Or you could have merely had confidence in your team and waited for rescue, Taylor said. There was a long, guilty silence. The three men looked at each other. Sam decided to take pity on them. They'd spent the day chained in a cage, after all, and cleared her throat.
So, better get moving or we're going to miss dinner, right?
As they walked back to the gate in the lengthening shadows, Sam noticed Taylor trailing behind the group and fell back to join her.
So what are you going to do with the cattle? Sam asked after they'd walked in silence for a while,
listening to birds calling softly in the desert night, and Rodney up ahead, faintly complaining about his sunburn.
Oh, I probably will have them sent to New Athos. My people will be able to use them.
From up ahead, Sam heard Ronan say,
McKay, if you don't shut up, I'm going to stuff your face into a cactus.
Turning to Taylor, Sam nudged her shoulder lightly.
Hey, you didn't sell them on purpose, did you? To get a few hours' peace and quiet?
Not to mention some free cattle. The corner of Taylor's mouth turned up. She walked in silence for a few minutes more, before answering calmly. A lady never tells.